Ladies and gentlemen, prepare yourselves for a shock.
Ready to be challenged? Maybe a little offended, but definitely shocked. This is Shock Therapy Live. Your therapy session with Nate Heitzig. We're not looking for stump the pastor questions, so put down your Devos and open your diaries. Really, this isn't systematic theology.
Not that there's anything wrong with that.
Not at all.
This is Shock Therapy Live. Now, here's Devo.
Yep. It is Wednesday.
It's time.
Shock Therapy Live Live.
Live Live, guys. We are here. Welcome to the show, Steve O'Matteo, and of course, Pastor Nate Heitzig.
This is our sophomore week back.
It is, man. It,
so we're no longer freshies.
Nope.
We expect to be treated kindly now. We expect questions, calls.
We do expect those. We'll see if we
can. It's our second date.
I know. Come on. Let's do this. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700 if you'd like to chime in, hang out. It is Shock Therapy Live. You know, we have been away for a while, so let me remind you guys, Shock Therapy Live is a one-hour call-in show centered around you. Whether it's something you read in Scripture that just you can't reconcile to your heart, you don't know what it means, you're kind of wondering how that fits into your life. Maybe it's a lifestyle issue. Maybe it's something that you've been battling, you don't know how to get out of. Maybe it's how to talk to a friend about Christ. Maybe it's how to counsel a friend in an area of their life that they're going through something you're at a loss at this point. We're here for you. We are unshockable listeners, and we've really touched on a gamut of things. So there's nothing that you are going through that will really throw us off so much that we can't help you through with the Word of God. That's what we're here for. Mm. So give us a call. The phone lines are open, 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. If you'd like to keep it anonymous, I know sometimes with these sensitive subjects, people tend to want to email in. That's fine as well. We promise if you email us, we will keep your story anonymous. We'll keep it between us. Unless, of course, you're like murdering someone, in which case we probably need to, you know.
We will alert the authorities.
We will have to alert the authorities.
We will go vigilante status and hunt you down.
No, yes. Probably. I don't know that I would do that.
Yes, maybe. Nate.
I mean, no,
I'm
Nate
with you.
Will. Nate,
I'll
oh,
do it.
He will
too.
All
right. We have costumes.
We do.
Oh, man. You can chime in studio@mystaticradio.com. And, of course, Facebook. It's always open. Facebook.com/mystaticradio. Get there. You can chime in there as well.
Good.
Amazing. Welcome.
Hi.
Hi, buddy.
How are you?
You know, I'm here.
Good.
It was good. Good night.
Was it?
Okay. Tuesdays, I know you used to watch Sons of Anarchy. It got too gnarly. Mm. You should watch The Flash.
Yeah?
It's the coolest show on television.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's exciting. Jack watched it last night, and afterwards he was like, that show is inspiring. It makes me want to do good things.
Is it the same quality, though, as Arrow?
Yes,
it seems more
better.
Cartoony to me.
I think the quality is even better because there's more CGI that goes into it. Dude had to run around backwards against a tornado in the first episode to slow it down, and it looked awesome.
Yeah.
It yeah, was awesome!
I was genuinely impressed with the special effects.
I really
Flash,
was,
because
too.
You would think, you know, it's TV, so it's like, how big is their budget really going to be? But it looks good. It doesn't look
cheesy.
They
stepped up their game.
It looks good.
Yeah.
I'll have to check it out. We're I think, a little bit more than halfway through season two of Arrow. So.
Yeah. Plus, Flash is a bit more optimistic than Arrow. He's kind of like the brighter side.
You have failed the city. Arrow!
Yeah.
Yeah.
Flash is like, come on, guys. We're good guys. Let's do good things.
Yeah.
Yeah. In a very dark city.
In a dark city.
What city? So, are they same city? Are they in... Or
no,
they in Central City?
They're in let's see, there was
Starling
City.
Is it Central City?
Is it Keystone?
I might be Keystone. Yeah. I don't know.
There's like these five cities that are basically like, you're Chicago, you're New York.
What is Starling City considered? Because Gotham's obviously New York.
Well, in the comic books, Green Arrow's in Seattle. Mm. So I'm assuming it's Seattle because that's... But, man, that's a really, really far trek for everybody else from New York to Seattle. So, who knows? Because they make it seem like the five
maybe
cities are
Boston
all like...
Maybe
Boston
or Philadelphia.
There you go. That would
but then
make
again,
sense.
But then again, this is an alternate universe.
Yeah.
So,
yeah,
in the alternate universe, they're all clumped together.
Yeah.
Hey, well, let's take our first question. We've got an email question. It says, hey, guys, I have a question about violence in the media. In today's society, we are overrun with media that is dripping with sin. Mm. I like that
dripping with sin.
Sex, drugs, and violence are what people find interesting in video games, movies, TV shows, etc. I have been wondering about where the line of sin can really be drawn when it comes to violence, though. I mean, not many people watched Superman and say it was too violent, but we all know that Grand Theft Auto is really sinful. So obviously, common sense does apply. I'm in the Marine Corps, and I know that being in the military isn't a sin because God honors and gives authority to government. So are games like Call of Duty, Halo, or Destiny sin since they are military in nature? And what about movies like Saving Private Ryan or TV shows about police work, where the message is not about violence being fun, but honoring the service and bravery of people? The Passion of the Christ had a lot of violence, but it had a great message about Jesus, so we know it isn't a sin to watch. I guess the real question is, if a Christian is participating in media, what that is about something they themselves or another Christian would do in a real-life situation, is it a sin? I know that in things like Halo and Destiny, you fight aliens and monsters, and they aren't real, but if they were real and threatening humanity, the military would fight them too. Just thought your inner nerd would have fun discussing that situation as well.
If Destiny is a sin, I sin every day.
Thank you for answers, and I love the show. Just to let you know, I am on the East Coast, and I listen to your podcast almost every day while driving to work and back home, and it is a blessing. Thank you, and God bless.
That's cool. Boom! Shout out to the East Coast. That's amazing.
Awesome. Well, you know, I just want to play the devil's advocate here.
Yes,
there was
please
one
do.
Thing that he said that I was like, okay, well, let's just go down this trail for a second.
Yeah.
He said, I guess the real question is if a Christian is participating in media that is about something they themselves or another Christian would do in real life situation, is it a sin? A lot of us do really bad things. My mic just went out. Or is that my headphones?
Has to be your headphones.
Oh, that's my headphones. So, you know, a lot of Christians do things in their real life that are sinful.
Yeah.
So just saying if it's something that they would actually do in real life, is it a sin? Well, yeah, because it can still be sinful stuff you do in real life.
Yeah.
But you know, I think the bigger thing here is it's not a sin to watch a movie.
Mm-mm.
Whether that movie has a lot of cursing in it, whether that movie has a lot of violence in it, you know, I think I'd probably draw the line at sexual activity because you truly can
Absolutely.
Lust in your heart.
Yes.
But, you know, by and large, a lot of movie and media, it's not a sin to watch it. Now, what makes it a sin is if it violates your own conscience. And
Amen.
I think this is the line that we draw for each person. If you, being in the military, can watch Saving Private Ryan, and you can watch it, and again, you're in the military, you see this stuff on a daily basis in real life. You watch that, and it creates in you a sense of patriotism, honoring, you know, our forefathers who went before us and who died for us. And you can watch something like that, and it doesn't affect you, you don't feel dirty afterwards, then good on you. Then you should watch those movies. But if there's a friend of yours who every time he watches one of those movies stumbles and he feels like he's sinning, then you should honor that he has that certain hang up, that he has that he has that conscience that the Holy Spirit is telling him that he shouldn't watch those kind of movies. You should honor that. And not tell him that he should watch those movies. And I think this is what we've dealt with before.
Yeah, absolutely. It comes down to personal conviction. I think a lot of times questions like these, you're really hoping for that definite, okay, Dexter's bad, okay, Sons of Anarchy also on that list. However, The Flash is just fun and inspiring, so you can do that. There's no real list of the do's and the do nots as far as that goes. If you have a personal conviction about something, obviously, you have to draw that line. But again, you cannot, if you have a personal conviction about something, do not try and enforce that or place that upon another believer because you are personally convicted by this thing saying, no Christian, therefore, should watch this because that's not biblical either. I will say, speaking directly to video games, I have an 8-year-old and he'll be 11 tomorrow. Jack Jeter. And they play video games. They don't play video games regularly because, one, they don't have a lot of time. They're in sports and we really would prefer them to do homework and more constructive things with their times. But when they have an opportunity to play video games, there are certain things that we do allow for our children. There are certain things we do not allow for our children. You mentioned some that we do and some that we do not. You mentioned Call of Duty because it's a military game and you're off sniping dudes. Because it is real world, my boys will not They do not play Call of Duty or Battlefield or any of those games. I don't care how you know noble it is because you're a military dude going over there and sniping Al Qaeda. It's still dudes getting murdered in the face.
And I think one thing we've seen in the past 10 years, part of the problem is that these games are based in reality.
Absolutely.
And they are using real tactical situations to do this. And so we've seen in school shootings that you have these kids who are in high school who should really have no military training are able to go in and with a certain level of military expertise take people out because of these video games. And they've learned these tactical situations and how to clear a room. And they've learned, you know, how to do all these things from these video games. So in the same sense that we say, yes, it's based in reality and so it's not as bad, at the same time, that can make it even worse for certain people.
Yeah.
And so, again, I think that's the key. Yeah. In the same sense that you wouldn't want your 11-year-old watching someone really get shot in Afghanistan, you wouldn't want your 11-year-old pretending to shoot someone in Afghanistan. So what I would say to this guy is that, you know, military – being in the military is something that takes a very special person, and it takes a very special disposition. And so I would also say playing those kind of video games without it affecting you takes a very special disposition.
Yeah, I can't play any games like that. And again, language is just foul. It's gnarly. It's like, but it's real world. It's like, right. And when we have those opportunities to play video games together, it's usually like that escapist mentality just to get away. You don't really want to jump. It's like, man, everything's gnarly, Ebola crazy. Let's go kill Al Qaeda in a video game. You know, like, you don't want to do, I don't want to do that anyway. So, my kids, they do rock Halo. It is aliens, like you said. There's no blood, if you will, or anything
just
like that.
Like
so,
green blood.
Just, you know,
green
so the, they don't even usually play that really. Right now, they're stuck on Minecraft and in Disney Infinity and, you know, whatever.
Isn't it funny that Minecraft is popular?
It's so dumb. I keep telling my kids, this is stupid. You're basically doing virtual Legos. Why don't you just build Legos? But for them, it's like crack. They just want to build virtually. Not really.
I was at Walmart the other day and they sell Minecraft toys.
Right.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at these toys and I'm like, these are the most rudimentary toys ever.
And they're making gajillions of dollars.
Yeah.
My son came home from the book fair yesterday and he bought three.
That's what I was about to say.
He bought three Minecraft books.
There was a kid at the gym reading a book and I was like, what are you reading? He said Minecraft.
It was unbelievable. And I'm like, oh my gosh. Okay. Well, if that's what you wanted to spend your money on. But yeah. So all that to say, getting back to the question.
Reminds me of work. Yeah.
Personal conviction Minecraft. Over Baby this blanket Warcraft. Statement that yes, you can, no, you can't. I'll tell you right now, you mentioned Passion of the Christ, and I know that Focus on the Family gave it a 5 out of 5 for family friendliness. I was pissed when they gave that rating. My son is going to be 11 years old tomorrow. There is no freaking way he's watching that movie yet. It is one of the most violent movies I have seen. And I understand and I get it. And I wept because I get what Christ went through. But you know what? My 11-year-old gets what Christ went through on a different level by reading scripture, not necessarily by watching this gory, gory film. And I'm not putting it down. It did what it was supposed to do. It just felt very shock value, and my kids have not seen Passion of the Christ. They haven't.
You know, and I think that there's a difference too here in opinions, because I know some parents that have shown that movie to their young kids. And I remember when that movie first came out, we actually at the time we were living in
California,
yeah, and we actually encouraged, we took the junior high youth group.
That's,
high
okay,
youth
junior
group.
High. I get that.
You're 11 years old, bro. Your son's in junior high, man.
Almost. He's 10.
11 years old.
He's in fifth grade,
bro.
He's in fifth grade as a
10-year-old. So it would have been when your son turns 11, he would have been at the age where we would have taken a youth group to go see that.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I think in America we're very sheltered and we have this really Christian perspective of Jesus. And it for so many kids, it's no different than Santa Claus or the Easter Bunny.
Yeah.
But when you see and you realize that your Savior died on the cross and experienced a bloody death for you, it takes it out of the this is like a cuddly bedtime story to holy crap, Jesus died for me.
Right.
You know what I mean? When you see that, you realize, okay, he's not Santa. Okay, he's not the Easter Bunny.
Right.
And I'm not saying your kids, because I know you've brought up your kids much different than most parents do, don't view Jesus in that way. But for many Christians, for many parts of America, that's all Jesus is.
Right.
And when you can take Jesus out of the fairy tale books and put it into reality that he really died a horrible death, you know, Santa Claus didn't die like that.
No.
You know, and so when you see that, it makes it sink in, I think, a little bit more.
Yeah. No, and, I hear you. We own it. And, yeah. And they will see it when they're ready. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And so, I was talking to Dave Eubanks about this because he was talking about Dave Eubanks. He's Free Burma Rangers. Yeah. Dude, this guy's gnarly.
Yeah.
But I was talking to him about PTSD. And he said, you know, he's been in countries all over the world. He said, America is the only country that I've experienced that has soldiers that deal with PTSD the way that we do.
Wow.
And we were talking about the reasons why, and one of the reasons I think is because we're so sheltered in America, because we play these video games and it's just fake, it's not reality. When our soldiers go out, this is the thing, when you're born in America and you grow up and you're 4 or 5, you don't expect that you're gonna die for your country. Mm. You don't expect that you're gonna go shoot people when you get older. It's just a game.
Yeah.
When you're in countries like Bosnia or Uganda or these different countries, from a young age, you expect that most likely you're going to have to shoot somebody someday.
Right.
You expect that most likely you're going to go into warfare. It's part of your reality.
Yeah.
And also, once the war's done, it's still a part of your reality.
Yeah.
In America, we send these people off who really have never expected to experience this kind of warfare in their life. They go out there, and then they come back, and we expect them to just be normal. And
right.
So they go from one extreme to the next, back to the other. Whereas in all these other countries, it's just part of their livelihood.
Yeah.
You know, that warfare is just part of what's ingrained in them.
Yeah.
Because, you know, most of these other countries have had warfare on their territory.
Yeah.
America has never had warfare on their territory. We had 9/11, but we've never had troops on our soil. Oil.
Mm.
And so it's a different mindset because we are so sheltered. So I think any chance that we can get to, in a healthy way,
yeah,
unshelter our kids a little bit, I think it's good because I think it prepares them more accurately for the real world that isn't America, but that is the world.
That's why last week me and Jack and Luke sat down and watched The Purge: Anarchy. And it was just,
yeah,
I'm just kidding. I've never seen that movie.
No, but I think,
I
think that something like, you know, for instance, obviously I wouldn't let my kids play a video game about that because I think acting that out is pretty extreme.
Yeah, I agree. Yeah.
But I remember at a pretty young age, my parents let me watch Saving Private Ryan, and they watched it with me,
yeah,
and they explained to me what that war meant to us as a country,
yeah,
and they had that conversation with me. It was meaningful. I remember my parents let me watch some of these movies. I watched Passion of the Christ. Obviously, I was much older, but
right.
I remember watching the Jesus of Nazareth videos.
Oh, yeah.
You know, that box set.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it wasn't as bloody, but it was still a very vivid picture of Jesus being crucified.
Yeah.
And I watched that from, like, when I was 5 years old.
I remember
old.
That. Yeah, when I was a little kid, I remember that at church. They showed that, the Jesus of Nazareth
series. And I think that there's something to be said about, you know, unsheltering our kids a little bit, because in America, we are so sheltered. And the rest of the world knows it. The rest of the world realizes that America is very sheltered and that we're not viewing the world through the lens that the world is viewing the world. We're viewing it through an American lens.
There you go.
And I take kids on mission trips all the time, and you see this firsthand.
Yeah.
You know, kids who really don't realize what the rest of the world is like.
Yeah, absolutely. You come back changed. I mean, that's what everyone says. Anytime somebody goes overseas on a missions trip, or even, you know, down south to Mexico to help build an orphanage, or build, and everybody comes back changed because they realize, wow, we live in a completely different culture, society, living condition, everything. We're Americans. We live spoiled. We are very wealthy. Yeah.
And you see when you're on a mission field, those kids who are really sheltered and those who weren't.
Yeah.
The kids who were really sheltered come back and, like, the mission trip will have rocked their world for, like, the next 6 months, and they're, like, kind of in shock and awe. And then those kids who really weren't sheltered, who maybe experienced a little bit more of the world, who maybe experienced, had their parents show them a little bit more of what reality really is like.
Yeah.
And yes, it affects them. It causes them to emote, and it causes them to be empathetic. But at the same time, it doesn't destroy them the way it does for these kids who were sheltered. They come back, and they remember the trip, but they get back on with life pretty quick.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And so I think it's a huge problem in America today. But I think we got to balance it. And I don't think it's good to let kids play these modern warfare games because you're acting out the violence instead of observing the violence.
Yeah, no, 505-338-3700, the phone number. That's 505-338-3700. All right. We got to take a quick break. It is Shock Therapy Live. Coming back, don't forget, we got a phone line open. So hang out with us. And, of course, you can also chime in on our email, studio@mystaticradio.com. Right back with more Shock Therapy Live. Static.
The 2014 Winter Jam Tour Spectacular with Hillsong United. tickets required. Just $10 at the door.
7 o'clock Thursday night, November 6th at Santa Ana Star Center.
Hillsong United and Jeremy Camp. Francesca Battistelli. Plus Colton Dixon and hosted by New Song. Also featuring disciple Trip Lee and speaker Tony Nolan. The largest Christian concert of the year. Text it, tweet it, pin it, or like it. No tickets required. Just $10 at the door. The pre-jam party starts early. International presents the 2014 Winter Jam Tour Spectacular.
November 6th at the Santa Ana Star Center. Welcome by Static Radio.
Hillsong United, Jeremy Camp, Francesca Battistelli, plus Colton Dixon. Details at jamtour.com.
Skip Heitzig points out the most important security issue that you face.
I mean, what good is it to protect your borders and your homeland and your family and the house if your soul is in peril?
Eternal security. That must be considered.
Some people have a false security. They trust in themselves. Some people have a flimsy security. And that is, they disobey Christ. And then others have a firm security. That's where we want to end up.
Hotspot. Don't wait until it's too late. And do not be a victim of false security.
The real point is this. You can talk about God, you can talk for God, and you can be doing good things for God, and that's fine, but it's a false security if that's it.
Skip says there is only one sure hope. Listen carefully.
If your life isn't built on the solid rock, you will fall eventually.
Hear more from Skip Heitzig at connectiononline.org and subscribe to his podcast.
Shock Therapy Live. We thought we knew what we were getting into. Now we're just trying to get through the show without getting fined. You're still listening? Good. Because Steve-O and Nate haven't bailed yet either. Now, more Shock Therapy Live.
We need to change that. Steve-O, Nate, and Mateo haven't bailed yet.
Well, maybe I have bailed.
Maybe he's out.
We'll let it. It'll be a hanging question. It'll be like, did Mateo bail? And they'll be like, I'm still here. I didn't bail.
I think, can I have an on-air personality? I can be Nateo. And then when you say him, you're not really sure who it was. So you're kind of like, who's going to be on air? It's, okay, it was Matt. Is that Matt or is that Mateo or is that Nateo?
Mateo. Oh, and Nateo can be the wild card.
Shock Therapy Live. Steve-O, Mateo, and Nateo.
Hey!
Hanging out. Welcome to the show. Phone lines are open, 505-338-3700.
I'm just over here playing bass and reading comic books.
Nope. Static!
Hello. Hi, how are you? I'm glad you're back.
Hey, oh, we are happy to be back.
Anyway, I have a question. Before I got saved, I have friends who live in New York.
Okay.
About a year ago, before I got saved, I said that I would, when they got married, because they're gay.
Okay.
And I said when they got married, I was going to be best woman. But now circumstances have changed.
Yeah.
And they've contacted me about a year ago to say that they were gay married and they wanted me to be best woman. But I said to them, I wasn't sure if I would be in America on vacation this year, so to go ahead and get married without me, and I'd go out to dinner without them. So got another message from them a couple of days ago, and apparently they're holding the wedding off until I get there.
Oh wow.
And I've talked about it with a couple of people. I've talked about it with my safe friends, which have a different view, which my unsafe friends have a totally different view.
Yes.
But I've decided that I can't stand up for them.
Yes.
But how do I tell them? I don't want to do it in the email.
Yes, agreed.
To them. I think it'd be much better if I did it in person when I fly over from London. But yeah. I don't think I'll be flying over this year.
Yes.
Mm. And I don't want them to hold their wedding off.
Yeah. Now,
to do when I'm going to be there, because I don't think I can.
Gosh.
Now, I first of all want to say I agree with your decision. And this is such a difficult situation. We've talked about this before, actually.
I've listened to all your podcasts.
Oh, good.
Every single, over and over and over before I came to my decision.
Yeah, and so, you know, I agree with that decision, because again, for those of you who might be listening that haven't listened to the podcast, marriage is something that is very sacred in the eyes of the Lord, mm-hmm. and a wedding is something that is equally as sacred, and when people make vows, they're making vows before God and before men. And we always make sure to make that distinction when a pastor's doing a wedding. You're making these vows before God and before mm-hmm. men. And the reason people attend a wedding isn't just to sit there and watch and eat cake afterwards and give them a present. The reason someone is invited to a wedding is because the couple believes that the person they're inviting approves of the union that is happening on that wedding day.
Which is why they usually ask if anyone here has
an objection.
Right.
Correct. And by the way, that's never really said anymore. But it truly is. The reason we have weddings is because you have witnesses, people who are there mm-hmm. to ratify the union right. between what God would say is the man and the woman. And so, we just had Sean McDowell in town. He just yep. wrote an incredible book on homosexuality. And he spoke on a Wednesday night and he talked about this. And he's someone who very much encourages the Christian community to show love to homosexuals
yeah.
and to sit down and talk with them. Mm-hmm. But when asked about the wedding topic, he said, personally, I would not go to a wedding if I was invited. And the reasoning he explained was the same thing. It shows that you're agreeing with that union. You're agreeing with that marriage. So I do agree, though, that the right way to say that is not through an email.
Right.
I think that the right way to say that is in person. Now, you're in a really unique position because yeah. you live, you know, several thousand miles away from them. And so you can't really just hop over there and let them yeah. know mm-hmm. why. So if you can't make it over there this coming summer, then I think the best thing to do would be to do a phone call with them.
Can you Skype or like FaceTime them?
I think that would always be more awkward.
Really?
You know, like just imagine if there was a pause, like the Skype falls out, like, hey, so you guys are gay.
Yeah,
it's like pause out. It's like, that'd be super awkward.
It's like buffering and you're,
he's like my brother. I've known him for a long time. He's like my baby brother.
So what I would do is I would call them and have a conversation with them. I would say, hey, I want you guys to know, and you can be honest with this, because as a Christian, you still do show love for them. So I'd let them
Amen.
Know, look, I love you guys. I really care for you guys, and I want the best for your life. I truly want the best for your life.
I'll tell you what. I recently had a situation in my life that I had needed serious prayer from my friends, because I had to confront a situation, and this was somebody that I consider my baby brother. And it took a long time, a lot of thought, a lot of prayer, and it the way God orchestrated it, it worked out that they called me. We weren't able to meet face to face, but I was able to share with this person a personal conviction that I had about a situation. And this person who has been in my life forever, who I really do love and consider family, understood, which was something that was a little shocking, which was my biggest fear of the entire situation. I was very,
yeah, that's my fear.
I was very fearful of the pain and the hurt that I was going to cause the person I love. But I also wanted to honor God in my decision, and I wanted it to be the truth. And so I couldn't pull punches, and I had to be very honest and very loving. And it took a very long time for me to speak that truth in love. And when the truth came out in love, the person that I was speaking to understood what I was saying and said, man, I know you love me, and I understand why you're making the decision that you are making. And it's all good, and I hear it.
Yeah.
I hear it in your voice. And so I would say this, begin to pray now that they will
yeah.
receive it, because I think that's like this thing that can take over us, this almost paralyzing fear. And of course, Scripture tells us we are not given to a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. So begin to pray for that spirit of that power and love
yeah.
and sound mind to wash over you, that you have the sound mind to respond in a way that shows love, and that God would just give you the power to speak the truth in that love. Because I don't envy the situation that you are in right now, because I can't imagine how difficult this will be for you.
Yeah.
But I understand and know that we serve a God who is so good, that can prepare mm-hmm. the situation well. And if these people, as you say, this person is like your kid brother, you love them so much, and if they love you so much, then I would hope and pray that they would understand why you would take the stance that you
Let me ask you this. Well. When did you become a Christian?
About 5 years ago.
5 years ago. And do they know that you've given your life to Christ and that you're a Christian?
Yeah, I was in New York last year. I saw them last year. They know that I've given my life to Christ. Apparently, the guy he's marrying used to be a Christian, and he used to be married, and he has kids, and he had a condition a few years ago, and I said to him, "Have you prayed about it?" And he says, "No, I don't believe in God anymore."
Okay. So what I would do is I would call him and I would let him know, you know, you guys know that I gave my life to Jesus Christ. And because of my belief in Christ and because of my belief in what the Bible says literally, I can't in good conscience, be your best woman in this wedding. And let them know that. But then I would make sure to follow that up by saying, I want you guys to know that I love you and that I care for you and that I'm always here for you to talk with you guys. And make it a point as well to let them know when I'm in New York, I'd love to get together and go to dinner with you guys. I'd love to go to coffee with you guys. I'd love to spend time with you guys. I'm still your friend. I just can't in good conscience stand on an altar and tell the world that I agree and I support the union that's happening.
And there's nobility in calling and saying, I wanted to do this in person. However, I cannot delay your wedding any further. I know you wanted to wait for me, but by the time I get out there next year, you'll have waited for no reason. And I love you and don't want you to delay the decision that you're going to make. This is the decision I have to because of my personal belief, my faith in Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
You're
still respecting the people when you do that. You're respecting them, but at the same time, you're not, you know, going all in and condoning.
Yeah, exactly. And it could go one of two ways. Either one, they're going to understand. They're going to say, okay, we're sad, but we understand. We respect your decision.
Yeah.
Or it could go the opposite direction. They get mad. And what happens if they get mad is most likely that they're going to think and they're going to accuse you of hating them or of not loving them. And when that happens,
That's the fear. Because I know what what he's like. And next thing I know, I'll be the target on Facebook or something.
Yeah. Right. And now, so if that happens,
I didn't do that to other people.
And so if that happens, it's very important if that happens that if they start accusing you of that, that you let them know, look, this has nothing to do with my love for you people as individuals.
Yeah.
I love you, and I care for you guys, and I'm here, to talk to you guys, and I still want to be your friends. You know, when I come to New York, I want to visit with you guys. If you come here, this doesn't mean that there's a breach of a relationship here between us. And so you're just kind of letting them know that, and you're just kind of, in the same way, you know, there's been people who haven't gone to, you know, I've known parents and I've known grandparents and cousins who haven't gone to weddings of a man and a woman because they think that the person that they're marrying is wrong and maybe it's a bad relationship. And so you're not saying you don't love them and support them as individuals. You're just saying you can't support the union that that is taking place. And so it's really important to clarify that. Again, this is what we talk about. You love the sinner, but you hate the sin. And so you let them know that you love them as individuals. You love them as people. You just don't agree with what they're doing, and you can't be identified with what they're doing. And so, you know, you can let them know, look, there's no condemnation here for me on what you're doing. I just can't be identified with it. And in the same way that I'm not judging you and telling you that you shouldn't do this, you should have the same level of respect with me and tell me, you know, honor my view and my decision of not being a part of this wedding.
So,
you know, because inevitably what they're going to want to do is they're going to want to make you seem like the bigot. And what you're trying to do is let them know, look, I'm not saying anything against you as an individual, you as a person. I'm just saying what's happening I can't be a part of. And so I would hope that the same level of respect that you asked me to have for you, that you would have for me.
Thank you very much. I think I'll call them this weekend.
Let us know when you do that. Would you mind giving us a call after you've done that and let us know how that went? We'd love to talk to you about that once you've had that conversation.
Okay, I'll call them this weekend and then I'll call you next Wednesday.
That'd be great.
Right on.
And let you know what happens.
Well, thanks so much for calling. If there's anything we can do for you, let us know.
Yeah, thank you, because that your advice has helped a lot and has given me a lot of courage to actually, because I was so worried about talking to them about it. I was hoping they'd just go ahead and do the wedding so I wouldn't have to have
them.
right, absolutely. Oh, man.
But then they call me and say, no, we are going to wait for you. that now you've actually given me the courage to actually stand up and say, this is my view, and this is how I can't make it, but I love you. And they know that I love them, and I'll always love them and support them in everything they do.
Thank you so much for the call.
Thank you very much.
All right. Thanks so much.
I'm so glad you're back.
We are glad to be back.
Forever.
Oh, we're happy. We're happy to be back. We're happy that you're still here.
Yeah.
Oh, thank you. Bye.
Have a good day.
It's, you know, man, these tough stories. This is why we do Shock Therapy Live. It always brings me back to the girl who chimed in one time, who was living with her boyfriend at the time. They had a kid together, and how do I handle this situation? I'm a believer now. And I remember the very real advice that you gave, Nate, about how, well, if you want to be real in the sight of God, then you're going to have to move out, and you're going to have to do these things. And it was a very gnarly situation. And I know there were those people that were hating on that, no, dude, you don't understand the situation. And yet, shortly thereafter, she called back with this incredible praise report, of what God did in her life. It was unbelievable when you are faithful, what God will do with that faithfulness. And so, man, Shock Therapy Live, it's here.
Well, hey, we got another email question we can dive into. Hi guys, welcome back. I love the show and really hope you can help me out here. With kids around, my ankles this morning will make it difficult. Okay, I don't understand what you're saying.
So maybe there's just little ones and she's at home.
With kids around my ankles this morning.
Got it.
Okay, I thought she was like saying like her ankles hurt or something. I was like, huh? Okay, I don't know how
they
we can help you with that.
Kids are like, around.
Take
some
ankle.
Ibuprofen. There's my advice. With kids around my ankles this morning, it will make it difficult to call in, so I hope this provides you with enough info for the issue at hand. My half-brother has drifted away from our family since my dad, his dad too, passed away. I have been trying to rekindle the relationship with him by keeping in touch. Well, to get to the point, he has a girlfriend that has recently come into the picture, and in my efforts to rekindle a relationship with him, she requested to be my friend on Facebook. I accepted, not knowing what I would be getting into. Not that it's bad, it's just a huge challenge for me and way out of my comfort zone. She is a medium and does investigations of the paranormal kind. She seems to be searching for God due to some comments of the end of the world coming and her needing to get her act together. Well, a couple days ago, she sent me a message on Facebook about a channeling she did, and it was about me and very important that I do this thing, which I'd rather keep private because it's nothing big to me and something the Holy Spirit has laid on my heart to do in His timing. My question is, I want to reply the way Christ would, so what are some good scriptures I could reference that would not drive her away but draw her near to the arms of God? I am terrible at confronting people, but I feel as though I cannot let this go unaddressed. Thank you and God bless. Wow.
So
it's a Halloween story.
I was going to say, she's a medium?
She's a medium, so she channels spirits and she communicates with the dead.
So what are some scriptures that could draw her into Christ, not push her away?
Well, I think you guys should watch Casper the Friendly Ghost together.
Stop it.
Mm. Who was that kid that played Casper?
Oh, I can't remember man.
Charming guy, though. Charming guy.
So this is the thing. Biblically speaking, from a biblical standpoint,
right.
And I'm kind of, you know, I want to know what you want to confront her on. If you want to confront her on being a medium, this is the thing. If she's not a Christian, you shouldn't confront her on being a medium.
Right.
Because, again, we've talked about this before. Lost people are lost.
Yeah.
And so what you want to confront her with is not that she's a medium and she shouldn't be a medium, but what you should confront her with is her need for Jesus Christ. That's the place where you need to start with any unbeliever. A lot of Christians get this wrong, and we start by addressing an unbeliever on their sin.
You need to stop drinking so much.
Whereas we should start with the appeal to come to Jesus Christ.
Right.
As you said, it sounds like she wants to get her act together. She's looking for answers. Give her the answers that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life, that God sent the Son to die for the sins of the world, and that if we accept Jesus Christ into our lives, we can know peace, and we can know that when we die, we're going to go to heaven, and the assurance that comes with that. You know, you start with the appeal and the call of the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
Or if she accepts Jesus Christ, then you confront her sin. And by the way, I've seen that when someone gives their life to Christ, they're confronted with their own sin.
Right.
Very seldomly do you have to let them know the things that they're doing
right.
wrong.
Yeah. Right.
Over time, once they come to Jesus Christ, they realize, man, should I be doing this?
Yeah, that's and the so, conviction of the Holy Spirit.
Exactly. So what you want to do is not address her sin, but you want to address her need. And that is her need for Jesus Christ.
Yeah.
And so, you know, the whole entire Bible directs us to our need for Jesus Christ. So when you're asking for a verse, I mean, read Romans, you know, read John, the book of John, read the book of 1 John. You know, these are some great books that address our need for Jesus Christ and the fact that without Christ, we are helplessly destitute, in need of saving. Mm-hmm. So I would just work through some of those things and I would give her an appeal to come to Jesus Christ and then let God do the rest.
Mm-hmm.
And if over time, maybe she gives her life to Christ, but you don't see a change in her, then and only then do you address her sin and let her know that, look, you gave your life to Christ, but what you're doing and the way you're living doesn't match up with what you're saying.
Yeah, absolutely. The entire medium aspect of it.
It's like they're, well, a medium. I have a friend who's a medium, by the way. She lives in Texas. The thing with it is...
I have a friend who's rare.
Oh, okay. Medium rare. Gotcha.
I like it. As a meaty response.
Oh, gosh.
We're turning into Sam Swan on Friday. We got to stop
terrible,
now.
Terrible, man.
Stop now. But anyway, yeah.
That was a Baptist Convention of New Mexico joke if I've ever heard
we
one.
We did
that
it,
was,
Nate. We did.
That was so...
So the whole thing with mediums, you're trying to get answers from the great beyond to the big questions. And so maybe from this you can say, hey, you know what? We don't have to try to talk to dead people because we have somebody who died and then came back to life and
right.
is still alive today and he's living and active through the Holy Spirit. And there's your answer right there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's totally what...
So we're all mediums, is what you're saying.
There's one mediator between God and man.
Right,
that's
right.
What I'm saying. It ain't me.
Well, I'm just kidding.
And again, you know, once she gives her life to Christ, the way you would approach this from a biblical standpoint is that, you know, mediums believe they can communicate to the dead because the dead are somehow in this limbo and that they're somehow able to communicate in this place. But... we believe that once you die, you either go to one of two places, heaven or hell.
Yeah.
And that now we do believe that you can communicate to spirits, but they're not human spirits, it's satanic spirits.
Yeah, I remember when I worked at the Native American, I used to work in National Radio, Native America Calling, and I had a conversation with someone who was like, well, you're a Christian, so you're not going to believe this, but my grandmother, she was talking about her grandmother coming and visiting because they believed that their ancestors would come and they'd visit and they'd give advice, but you're a Christian, so obviously you don't believe that I experienced that. And I very quickly said, no, I absolutely do believe you. I believe you experienced that. Do I believe it was your grandmother? Absolutely not. Here's what scripture's saying. That's exactly it. Because you don't want to discredit and go, everything you believe is a lie, you idiot. You're not really communicating with the dead. Chances are, if she's communicating with something, there's a very likely chance she is talking to a spirit. It's just not an ancestor. It's just not a dead relative. It's not someone who was on this earth and died and is now a ghost. Chances are, as you said, it is an evil spirit. There are demons.
And again, keep this in mind because people always say, well, no, it looks so much like them. The devil's called a deceiver.
Right.
Do you think if Satan's trying to deceive you, he's going to send a fiery minion with wings to come to you and talk to you and be like, hey, I'm your grandma. No. He's obviously going to do a pretty good job of deceiving you, of making that being or that spirit look like and sound like. And also keep this in mind, we're talking about spirits of the heavenly realm, spirits of, you know, another dimension, that these beings no doubt know things about your life, because we see that, you know, Satan obviously uses things that he knows we struggle with to tempt us.
Right.
So he knows things about our life. He knows things about your past. So he's a very good deceiver. He's not going to, you know, come, in, you know, looking all scary. He's going to come in an appealing fashion
Red
to deceive you.
Tail.
With like some creepy mask of your
I felt like
horns.
It turned into a South Park episode real quick. When the grandma.
I'm the grandma.
Hey, Adolf.
Okay. No, for real though.
Oh, man.
I think that the whole medium thing you just provide. I don't. And again, like Nate said, there needs to be a little more clarification with the whole thing. But
yeah.
I know mediums are looking for answers. They're trying to find answers to what happens after death. You know, answers to unlock the future here on Earth. It's the whole parable that Jesus told about the guy. You know that He was looking across the Great Gulf, and there was a dude in Abraham's bosom, and the guy was like, "Let me go back and tell my brothers about this because this sucks, and I just need a drop of water because I'm dying in this fire." You know, and then he said, even if you went back, even if a man rose from the dead, nobody would believe him.
Right, right.
You know, which we know was a picture of what he was going to do.
Yeah.
But I think it's the same thing. Like, you're looking for, you just tell him, you're like, "Hey, I've got the ultimate answer here."
And I think that's part, we Christians get so tentative because it's like, well, we got to remember that the Bible, we believe it because we're Christians, and so we don't want to like push that upon anybody because that's our faith, our belief. But we're negating the fact that the gospel is the truth. Mm-hmm. This is reality. Whether you're a Christian or not doesn't negate the fact that God's word is true. And I think a lot of times we say, "Well, that's our truth." Mm-hmm. No, then you're making it relative.
Yeah.
It's the truth.
The truth.
And if this medium is searching for answers, you can say, "Hey, God has provided us with all the answers we need to life through his word, through his revelation, through his son." And so absolutely,
there's a difference between presenting something in love and not presenting something at all because you don't want to offend somebody.
Right.
The truth itself will stand. I'm a firm believer of this. Sometimes, like in situations where people are going around and telling lies about you,
right?
You know, like the only thing you can cling to is, "Well, that didn't happen, and that's all I got." And people are going to say what they want to say. Unfortunately, sometimes the truth never really, you never get vindicated.
Yeah.
But we leave that to the Lord anyway. And it's not so much, like, I think as long as Christians present the truth in love, in grace, like we're supposed to, the truth is the offender. It's not the person. And you have to leave the truth to be the offender. You have to let the truth stand as it is because it's the equalizer.
Yeah, absolutely. The gospel is what is offensive. The gospel is an offense. The presentation should never be
an
offense.
Yeah, we shouldn't be out there going like, "Look at me, look at me, you're offended."
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm relevant. I'm real.
Yeah.
I'm edgy. I'm offensive. No, you don't have to be, because the gospel in itself, as we've seen, will offend.
Exactly.
So
Carl Lentz just did a great message at Fresh Life for
Levi. Oh, man, I can't wait to see it.
And he talked about that. He said, you know, pastors like me and Levi, we're not just trying to be hip and edgy for the sake of being hip and edgy.
Yeah.
We're not just trying to be offensive for the sake of offensive, you know. And he talked about the idea that the gospel, you know, he said, we're going to do whatever it takes to get the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth and preach the gospel to the lost and to the broken and to the hurting. And so, you know, I think, again, the gospel is offensive, and we don't need to do anything to change that.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's the, in answer to this question, the basic, my mind's kind
of
scattered.
The heart of it?
Yeah, the heart of it, the bedrock truth here is that you need to present this woman with the gospel.
Mm-hmm.
And nothing more, nothing less. You know, you don't need to even approach her idea of being a medium or communicating with the dead. All you need to do is present the gospel.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. It is Shock Therapy Live. The phone lines are open. 505-338-3700. That's 505-338-3700. If you'd like to chime in on email, studio@mystaticradio.com is where you can chime in anonymously. Or, of course, as always, facebook.com/mystaticradio. And we're here. We're hanging out with you. You got a few minutes left. If you miss any part of the show, or maybe you have a question, but you're at work, you can't chime in, there's no way to email, I want to direct you to our website, mystaticradio.com/shocktherapylive. There we keep our archives of every single one of the shows we've ever done. You can podcast us, because in there we have answered a gamut of questions. There are so many things that we've covered here on Shock Therapy Live that we want to provide as a resource to you, because there are so many situations that people are either stuck, or they just don't know how to get out of it. They don't know what to do. They don't know how to talk to a friend. They don't know how to present this. They don't know, or maybe it's a sin in their life that they don't know how to confront. They don't know how to deal with. That's why we're here, to provide that.
Hey, just really quick for this lady, a couple verses for if you do want to talk to her down the road about being a medium, a couple verses that can help you with that. 2 Corinthians 11 verses 14 through 15 are some great verses that deal with that. In specifically dealing with in the New Testament with speaking with the dead and communicating with the dead. And then also a couple of good verses in the Old Testament. You have Leviticus 20:27 and Deuteronomy 18:10-12 are some great verses. And again, Satan is a deceiver, and he's going to and fro seeking whom he can devour, someone who he can trick, someone who he can deceive. So just keep that in mind when you're dealing with things like that.
Yeah, isn't it like that with all sin, though? I mean, he's never going to present it to you as like, hey, man, check out that chick at work. It's going to ruin your life.
Exactly.
You know, it's like, hey, man, he'll never do something like that. What he's going to do is tempt you and like bring about what, as you had said, he knows your faults. He knows like where you succumb to temptation. So he's going to present them in this really beautiful light. Scripture even tells us that sin, for a season anyways, is pleasurable. It's fun. If it wasn't fun, nobody would be sinning. But there is that pleasure that comes with it. But man, the consequences that come with those, and there will always be those, are heavy, and it's crazy. And so, yeah, absolutely. Whether it's being a medium or all the calls today.
You know, this is something I think would be fun for you guys to talk about theology Thursday tomorrow. I think you should bring it up because I inevitably know what the skeptics and doubters will say in reference to this. They're going to bring up to you 1 Samuel 28 verses 7
right.
to 20. Where Saul goes to the witch of Endor, a medium, and she channels Samuel, who comes and speaks to Saul and gives Saul some really good advice. And so I inevitably know people say, well, what about that? Samuel actually showed up and he said to Saul, why did you bring me back? And he starts talking to him. And so a lot of skeptics will bring that verse up. And so I think it'd be fun for you guys to hash that out
absolutely.
On Theology Thursday. I think you should ask this question again and see what B-Nix has to say about that.
Yeah, and I know one of the other things we're definitely going to touch on tomorrow goes back to our first caller, because recently the Vatican, they were having a meeting of the minds, if you will, and they have not officially released this book that they're working on.
Yeah.
But the Pope had basically called for loving relationships within the homosexual community and how to bring them into the fold of the church. Now, what he wasn't saying was we need to just agree with their lifestyle, and you know, because it immediately became a, well, the Pope's obviously wrong, and that's, you know, that's heresy. They haven't released their official documentation yet on that. However, it still got everybody going, what does he mean by that?
Yeah.
What is that? How are we to handle that? And then just last night, Mitch texted everybody an article from Houston where the mayor of Houston is subpoenaing pastors in Houston, their messages on homosexuality. She wants all of their transcripts. By the way, she herself is a homosexual.
Wow.
So she's trying to get all of these transcripts, basically, of any message that was preached in Houston that had to do with the topic of homosexuality, attacking from the a place of hate speech and bigotry.
Wow.
That's in America. That's happening in Houston right now. And so I know Jarrett Petro, pastor from San Francisco, California, he knows a thing or two when it comes to this topic. So obviously tomorrow on Theology Thursday, we will definitely be talking about that as well, because we're getting hammered right now. It's just everywhere. And with questions like that, because there are those two sides, because you're also going to hear the side that says, no, bro, where's the love in not being at that wedding? You got to be loving. We got to be just bros and be friends. And maybe you're not, but you want to still show them that you love them and that you care for them. But I often think of a dear friend of mine, Asher, who confronted me in my sin one time, and it was very hard for me to hear.
It was offensive, it was the truth.
Oh, dude, it sucked. And I have never been more thankful. It's one of the best coffee dates I've ever had in my entire life, because I was confronted on my sin. He allowed the gospel to sink in, and it changed. It changed a lot of aspects in my life that were dark and dirty that I didn't want to confront. But this friend, and he wasn't the only friend. There were plenty of friends in my life who saw the life I was living years back and didn't confront that because they didn't want to offend, because they wanted to be my friend and they wanted to love me. And I'm nothing against those friends. However, the one person I remember is Asher Barrett, who came to me and said, bro, let me take you to coffee. I love you. I want to talk. I just want to hang out. Let's catch up. And then while we were there, I was like, boom, confrontation gospel.
Man.
And it was one of the best conversations I've ever had in my entire life because it changed me. And so I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for the friend that was willing to stand up for the sake of the gospel and say, bro, I love you and I see some things in your life. Maybe you should go read this. Go check out this portion of scripture and maybe just see how that reconciles with your faith, because I don't know how it can.
Dude, it's just something to keep you guys awake at night. My favorite news article from this week. Police in California City responding to callers who report creepy clowns on streets after dark.
Yeah. Boom!
Terrifying.
Go search that news article and try to sleep.
Thanks,
man. Halloween. Thanks,
and
Nate.
In case that's not terrifying enough, Ebola. So there you go.
Ebola and creepy clowns. Here's that creepy clowns with Ebola.
America.
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, crap. We're all going to die.
Let's do it, guys. It's going to be a good day.
If you missed any part of the show, it's available by staticradio.com/shocktherapylive. Man. Love it. Next week, going to be fantastic as well. Coming up next, Middays with Mitch. It is Wednesday. Don't forget.
It's 10 o'clock. How can it be midday?
I don't know. That's how
some people aren't even awake yet.
Stop it.
Comments made do not necessarily reflect the opinions of Real Doctors, Moms, Calvary of Albuquerque, any political party, Puppies, Static Radio, or, well, just about anybody else except for the moron who made us use the delay.